Pleasure to be back with you. Privilege. Honor. I'm delighted. Delighted to see you again. Been a long time. And I'm grateful to be here. This church has been a blessing to me. Your pastor and his wife have been a great blessing to me for so many years. We were just reminiscing with Claire last night about the beginning of this church. And it was in your apartment, Paul and Leanne, was it? Okay, well, Amanda and I came down 1982, you said. And it was just you two and us and Paul and Leanne. That was the church. And Todd preached to us, and it was a great blessing. And how the Lord has blessed this church since then, hasn't he? My. What a blessing it is to have a church, true church, God's true people, the truth, the gospel. What a blessing, greatest blessing of all. A man to preach that gospel like you have, a faithful gospel preacher who's a blessing to you and a blessing to so many. And this church has been a blessing to so many other churches too, and I want to commend you for that. As Paul did other churches, your faith is everywhere spoken of, your charity toward others. And I commend you, and I bless the Lord for you. I really do. Thank you for everything. Claire and Annie for rolling out the red carpet to us. Thank you. You know, the Scriptures talks about a man named Obed when the ark was not in its permanent place. David sought a place to put the ark while he prepared a place for it. And the house of Obed, Edom, said, "We'll take it." And the ark stayed there how many months? Yeah, a long time. And it says, "The Lord blessed the house of Obed Edom because the ark was there." And those who house those who preach the gospel and do what you do for the cause of Christ, the Lord will bless that house. And how he's blessed this house. Go with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 6. Numbers, chapter 6. We're talking about the blessings of the Lord. The blessing. That's the title of this message. The blessing of the Lord. Here in Numbers, chapter 6, a sister in the church sent me a birthday card and just put this passage at the bottom of the card, like we often do. And I went and read it, and it was a great blessing to me. Look at it. Verse 22, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they, these priests, shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. The Lord bless thee." The Lord spake to Moses, it says, and he spoke to Aaron, and he spoke to his sons, who in turn spoke to the people. The Lord spake, saying, "Say this. You're going to bless the people, and this is how I want you to bless them. Speak to them. You tell them what I tell you to tell them." The Lord spake and said, "You speak, and you will be a blessing. You will be a blessing to them. The chief blessing of the Lord is what you have in your laps right now. The word of the Lord." The Lord said in the Revelation, the first chapter, he said, "Blessed are they that read the words of this book." So few people actually read God's word today. They have a copy of it, but very few people read it. You are so blessed if you read it. We've already been blessed tonight to read it several times together, haven't we? Wasn't it a blessing? Isaiah 61 and Psalm 46, that was a blessing. and Psalm 67. A blessing. We're so blessed to read this. If we have a desire to read it, you're blessed. Just to read it. Then he went on to say, blessed are they that hear the words. We're even more blessed if we hear it preached. Because faith cometh by hearing the word preached. God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. How blessed we are to hear the word, not little sermonettes about social things and so forth. We hear the word of God preached, don't we? How blessed we are. And he went on to say, blessed are they that keep the words of this book. That is, they lay hold of these words. They believe it. They receive it. How blessed we are if we read this word, if we hear this word preached, and if we lay hold of it like words of life. Like Peter said to the Lord, Lord, you have the words of life. I need to hear what you have to say. Blessed. The Lord said this to his people. He said in Psalm 147, he said, he shows his word to Jacob. The Lord shows his word and his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. God gave his word to his people, not any other nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. They don't know them. Praise the Lord. The blessing. So he says to Moses to tell Aaron, to tell his sons, to tell the people. Now, there are men in here who do some preaching. Or if you feel like I do, you attempt to do some preaching. But if we want to be a blessing, we do want to be a blessing, don't we, to the people. How are we to bless the people? Well, this is what the Lord told Aaron, Moses, to tell Aaron, to tell his son, to how to bless the people through his word. You want to be a blessing, preach the word. That's what Paul told Timothy. Preach the word, Timothy, in season or out of season. Preach the word. And you shall bless, he said. You shall be a blessing. Look at it there in verse 23. On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel. Whether you think you've succeeded or not, when you stand up here and preach God's word, preach the gospel, how you feel has no bearing on it. That's it, Brother Todd. If you preach the word, God said, my word won't return void. And he will bless it. It will accomplish what he sent it to do. And you shall bless. That's a promise. It's a command. You bless the people with these words, and it's a promise. And all we're doing when we preach is merely relating or repeating what the Lord has already said. We don't have anything new to say. Your pastor will be glad to hear that I don't have a new revelation for you tonight. Nothing new. Same old story. Things, seeing you know these things before. All right? Here it is. He said in verse 23, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel. On this wise you shall bless them. Now, you read with me and you did not see one material thing mentioned, did you? Did the Lord speak about anything in this world as being a blessing? Not one material thing was mentioned. Not food, not raiment, not the things that the world thinks of as blessings, are they? Because Scripture says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places, in Jesus Christ. What a blessing if you know that the blessing of God, that all the blessings of God are in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. They're all found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Most people think of material things as blessings, and they are. The Lord does give us these things, all things richly to enjoy. It's not sinful to enjoy them, but these aren't the blessings of the Lord. We can be blessed with them or we can be blessed without them. In fact, it is a curse if we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. It's a curse. That's what the Lord said about the church at Laodicea then. And know not that we're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. We can have many things, great riches, and they'd be a curse to it. So these aren't necessarily the blessing. Did not our Lord begin being the high priest himself. And these are the sons of Aaron. These are the priests who he said, blessed. Our Lord came, the great high priest. And how did he begin his ministry? Blessed. It began by blessing the people. And he ended that way. When he left, in Luke, the last chapter of Luke, he left. It says he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Blessed them. But he began by saying, blessed are the poor. Blessed are they that mourn. Things that the world doesn't think of as blessing. Blessed are those of hunger and thirst. Well, you know what that means, don't you? Many of you in here, if not most, perhaps, are poor in spirit. Mourn over your sin. Hunger and thirst after the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. What a blessing. Job blessed the Lord when he lost everything, didn't he? He lost everything. He said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So it can be a great blessing if the Lord removes these things. Some of you in here knew a man named John Howsam. And most of you do not. But John Howsam was a member of the church in Ashland, 13th Street. But years and years before that, he was a young major, I believe, in the Air Force, moving up the ladder, being promoted, a gifted young man. He was involved in design of airplanes. Very gifted, brilliant man. And he was married and had a young daughter, very young daughter, 4 or 5 years old. Well, the Lord gave John multiple sclerosis. I said that right. The Lord gave it to him. And his health began to deteriorate. He lived in Ohio at the time. He was stationed in Ohio, and his health began to deteriorate until he was wheelchair bound. His wife left him, took their young daughter, and left him. And he did not see her for about 20 years. And one day he was sitting at home watching the television. And on that TV was a preacher named Henry Mahan. And he heard him preach the gospel. And the Lord revealed himself to John Howsam. And John sold everything he had and moved to Ashland to sit under the preaching of that gospel. And he sat there till the day he died, didn't he? And what a faithful man, what an example he was to everyone. And he said this. He said this. He said, I thank the Lord that he gave me multiple sclerosis. He said, if he had not, I would not have heard the gospel. So the blessing of the Lord are not in things, but it's in a person. A revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look who he says to bless in verse 23. On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel. The children of Israel. Psalm 3 says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing shall be upon thy people. God's people. His elect. So if you hear this word, if you're blessed by it, if you believe the truth, you must be one of his elect. You're one of the blessed. How blessed you are. You must be a son of Jacob. Say unto them, verse 23, say unto them, the Lord bless thee. Verse 24, the Lord bless thee. The Lord bless thee. The I am, the great I am, the living and true God. The God who is God. Sovereign, reigning, ruling. God in whose hands our breath is. The Lord, Jehovah. The Lord, Jesus Christ, whom God hath given all things into his hands. Tell them the Lord bless thee. The Lord bless them. If he does not bless us, we won't be blessed. The blessing of the Lord is in his hands. It belongs to him to bless whom he will. The Lord bless them. Now the word bless, I looked it up. And it's used many times in Scripture. And the basic and common meaning of it is to kneel or to bend the knee. That's what the word actually translates to. We bless the Lord. Scripture says, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We bless the Lord by kneeling to him, don't we? By bowing down to him, by worshiping him. We bless him. Well, he blesses us by condescending to us, by bending his knee down, coming down where we are, by bending his knee. The Lord blesses us by stooping down where we are. What is man that he is mindful of us? Or the Son of Man that he would visit us? Why did God's Son come to this earth? To bless his people. And he had to condescend to do it. He had to condescend. He had to come down from his glory to this place, that the scriptures call this present evil world, in order to do something for us that we could not do for ourselves. Oh, bless the Lord for that. This is the blessing of the Lord. He blesses us by stooping down. The Lord blessed a woman one time who was guilty, caught in the act of adultery, and the Lord, it says, stooped down to where she was. If the Lord does not bless us, we won't be blessed. The Lord must bless us. But if the Lord blesses us, he said that in that last verse, he said, I will bless them, and they shall be blessed. Who was it? It was Isaac, wasn't it? Jacob and Esau wanted the blessing from their father. And Esau came back, and Jacob had already had the blessing, didn't he? Jacob had already got the blessing from his father. And Esau came back and said, Father, bless me. Undo this. Remember that? And the father said, no, I've blessed him, and he shall be blessed. It can't be undone. It won't be undone. What I've said goes. The Lord blessed us. If he blesses us. How does he bless us? How does he bless us? Look at verse 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Keep thee. Lord, come down to you through the preaching of the gospel. The Lord stoop down where you are and speak to you through the preaching of the gospel and tell you he's come to keep you. He's come to keep you. He's come to preserve you. That's what the word keep means. The word keep means to retain, not to lose. The word keep means to preserve, not to throw away, not to cast out. The word means to defend, to watch over, to keep from harm. The word means to provide for. The Lord keep thee. If the Lord keeps you, you'll be kept. If the Lord doesn't keep you, you won't be kept. You can't keep yourself. You can't save yourself. The Lord keep that. The Lord save you. The Lord not cast you out. You know, the scripture says the Lord's going to fold up this earth like a vesture and cast it out. That there are going to be a multitude of people that he's going to cast out of his presence, but he's going to keep a multitude of people, he says, as his own peculiar treasure. I'm going to keep these. Why? They're worth keeping. Is there something in them special that he is going to keep them? No, that's why he calls them a peculiar treasure. I don't know why he'd want to keep thee, except to the praise of the glory of his grace. It's peculiar treasure. Some he's going to keep. Some he's going to keep. Some of them are keepers. Any fishermen in here? Your dad's a fisherman. Yeah, he can understand that. But when you go fishing, do you keep the little ones? What do you keep? Keep the biggest ones, don't you? If you don't get any, you go back and talk about the one that got away. But we don't keep the little ones, do we? They're not worth keeping. Say, he's a keeper. Well, who's the Lord keep? Who's the Lord going to say? You see your calling, brethren? The nothings, the nobodies. The nothings, the small ones. Worthless worms. Dead dogs, that's who the Lord say. Dead dogs, like Mephibosheth. That's who he keep, because they're going to be to the praise of the glory of his grace. They're going to give, the Lord's going to get all the glory for keeping such a one as that. I know I've told you every one of my dog stories, but some of you haven't heard it, and I can't think of a better illustration for this than this story. But I went to the dog pound one time, determined to get a dog, and every one of these dogs were scheduled to be euthanized the next morning. They were dying dogs. They were as good as dead. The dog's worthless anyway. And I didn't need a dog, but I just determined to have one. And I went to the dog pound, and they're scheduled to die. And I went down the row of cages there and looked at them, and there's some kind of pretty and some kind of big and, you know, some kind of this and that and the other. Some seem to have some pedigree. Well, would you like to guess which one I chose? It was the very last cage that I came to. The last was my first choice. Wasn't the biggest, wasn't the prettiest. In fact, it's one of the ugliest now. She was a pitiful little thing. But I chose her. I named her Annie. I loved her, Annie. But I named her Annie, little black dog. And I took her home. Before I took her home, the people at the dog pound told me, "You're going to have to pay for her." Pay? You're going to kill her tomorrow, right? Yeah, but you got to pay for her. Pay good money for a dead dog? Okay. I paid them, I don't forget what it was, $29.95. Too much. And then I started to go, I said, "Hold on. You got to sign an agreement. You got to sign these papers that you'll promise not to abuse her. You'll promise not to even give her away. That you promise to keep her." I said, "Are you kidding?" "Okay, I'll sign that agreement." And I did. I paid money for her. I redeemed her. I bought her. She was mine. I named her. I bought her. I brought her home. I taught her. She was mine. And Drew, I kept her till the day she died. I kept my promise. Who's the Lord going to keep? Oh, not many of their first shall be last. The last shall be first. The nothings and the nobody. Oh my, that it means to save. The Lord keep thee. The Lord save you. The Lord keep watch over you. The Lord protect you. The Lord defend you. The Lord keep you from harm. He's the only one that is able to keep us. The Lord is thy keeper, Scripture says. And he never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord keep thee. The Lord keep you from harm. The Lord keep you from sin, its consequences, its rule. The Lord keep you from Satan, the god of this world, who has this world in his captivity. The Lord keep you from being overcome by the world. If the Lord doesn't do that, we won't be kept. The Lord keep thee. The Lord keep you. He's able to keep you. And we're kept by the power of God, aren't we? Kept by the gospel, kept by his word. The Lord is our shepherd. The Lord keep thee. The Lord provide for you. The Lord do all things necessary for you. Any horse people in here? I used to have horses, and horse people would talk about a horse being an easy keeper, meaning it didn't require much care, didn't require much food or maintenance or whatever. I wonder how you men would respond if I asked you that about your wife. Is she an easy keeper? Well, the fact of the matter is, none of us are easy keepers. Helpless, hopeless, worthless, can do nothing. Christ said, "Without me, you can do nothing." The Lord keep you. The Lord provide for you. The Lord do all things necessary for you. The Lord provide everything that you need. We're dumb. We need wisdom. We're unrighteous. We need righteousness. Lord, it's his. He freely gives it. We're unholy. Lord, give us sanctification. Food, raiment, all these things. The Lord keep you. The Lord provide for you. The Lord, and if he's your shepherd, you shall not want. You shall not want for these things. The Lord keep you. Look at the next thing. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lord, make his face shine. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4. Some of you know that I have to go here in light of that verse. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord God, whom no man hath seen nor can see. The Lord Jesus Christ said this. He said, "This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life." The Lord must reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to us. He must reveal the light of the glory. We'll look at it. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. If our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, his people, his elect, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon them hath the light shined. To those that fear his name, the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his way. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God, the Lord make his face shine upon you. That's the Lord Jesus Christ is who that's talking about. The Lord reveal Jesus Christ to your heart. Make his face shine upon you. When old Saul of Tarsus didn't know God, did he? He thought he did. He had a zeal for God. He didn't know God. He didn't know Christ. He didn't know God because he didn't know Christ. Well, one day he was walking on the road to Damascus, and it says, suddenly a light shone round about him. The Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself to the Apostle Paul, didn't he? Made his face to shine upon him. Paul didn't know. He thought he knew the law. He thought he knew what salvation was. He didn't know anything without the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the Lord revealed Christ to Paul, and now he knows all things, like he said to the Corinthians. We know all things in light of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, because Christ is the grace of God, the unspeakable gift of God. The grace of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life, and this life is in his Son. This is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Christ is the grace of God. Christ is the gift of God bestowed upon the objects of his love, the object of his electing grace. Christ is the grace of God. The Lord make his face shine upon you and your children. He has to do it. He has to reveal himself to us and our children. And if he does, he's been gracious to us. So gracious. So gracious. Oh my, if he only will, if only he will, and he has to do it. And that's why he says, you say that the Lord must do this. The Lord, we call upon the Lord. We want the Lord to reveal himself to those we love, those we know, but we can't do it. But he can, and he does, and he must. And so we say, the Lord bless you. May the Lord reveal himself to you, reveal Christ to you, and be gracious unto you. Look at verse 26. He said, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. When you're angry with someone, when you're angry about something, when you're displeased, your countenance is falling in, and you frown. You frown. And the scripture says God is angry with the wicked every day. It is not what the world is saying. Smile, God loves you. God is not smiling on this world. God is angry. That's a fact. The Lord said, the scripture says, in the days of Noah, and he said, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We are in those days. I'm convinced of it. But as in the days of Noah, the Lord looked down upon the earth, and he said, behold, it was corrupt, meaning the whole earth. He said, all flesh had corrupted his way, his truth, everything about God. And he said, the end has come. He said, I will destroy. I will destroy. God frowns. I was angry. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord smiled on Noah. Why? Because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Because the Lord did. Because it pleased the Lord to do so. Noah was no different than anyone else was. Noah was a sinner. But he was saved by grace. And the Lord smiled on Noah. And he smiled on everyone in that ark, Dwayne. Everyone in that ark. Had there been a bumper sticker, It would have been on the inside, wouldn't it? Smile, God loves you. God's smiling on his people. Those in Christ. That ark represents Christ. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, God said, let him be accursed. God is angry with him. God doesn't smile on people who doesn't love his son, do you? No, you don't. You don't love those that don't love your own. Neither does God. Any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, let him be accursed. Let him go to hell, and he will. God will send him there. They don't have any need for his son. He doesn't have any need for them. He's angry because they have no use for his son. They've trodden underfoot the blood of his son. Don't care. Nothing to you, all you that pass by, he said. But those who do love his son, God loves. God smiles. Went down to visit Brother Donnie Bell a year or so ago. And he has a little great-granddaughter. Great-granddaughter, mind you. Riley is her name. Cute as a button. And he couldn't wait to show her to me. I hadn't met her yet. And he was telling me all about her. And so she came over, and Brother Don brought her in the room. He held her, had Riley in his arms, looking at me, watching my reaction. Okay? And I smiled. And boy, Donnie smiled too. You love Riley. I loved Riley, so he loved me. If I didn't, I'm out of the house. And that's a fact. Any man loves not God's son, God doesn't love him. But if any does. Our Lord said this. He said, the Father himself loveth you because you love me. Because you love me. Where's the love of God? It's in his son. Those that are in his son. And he said, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Give thee peace. Christ said to his chosen disciples, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Peace I leave with you. Peace with God. Peace that the Lord Jesus Christ obtained by the blood of his cross. That Christ made by the blood of his cross. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him, the scripture said. The wrath of God was poured out upon God's son that we might have peace with God. We don't make peace with God. Jesus Christ made that peace. Every one of God's people know that, and they thank him for that. He made peace for us by the blood of his cross, by being made sin for us. That's where we get this peace. And he said, peace I leave with you. I obtained this peace with God by suffering the penalty of your sin. For you. I obtained it. Peace I leave with you. The peace that I obtained. And he said, my peace I give unto you. My peace. There's peace by believing Christ, by looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no peace to be found anywhere else. Only by looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. You look to Christ and you'll have peace. Look to your sin bearer and you'll have peace. Look to Christ and him crucified and you will have peace. No matter how sinful you are, you look to Christ on that cross and you will have peace. He said so. My peace I give unto you. There's no peace to be found anywhere else but in Christ. There's peace in belief. Peace. The Lord lift up his countenance and give thee peace. Give thee peace. Oh, my. That's the blessing of the Lord. If you see your need of Christ, if you see who Christ is, you see what he's done, you see your need of him, that's the blessing of the Lord, isn't it? Everything else pales in comparison to that. If you have that, you have it all, because Christ is all. Then he says in closing, he says, and these preachers, these priests, they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. And I will bless them. And put my name on them. Now God is the father of some people. He's not the father of all mankind. Children of the promise. They are the seed. God's people are his chosen, his elect. And he's called their father. I was blessed to have a wonderful earthly father. Most of you, many of you know my father, and I was so blessed to have him as my father. The Lord blessed me in putting me in his home and giving me his name, and I still bear his name. And I was so blessed. Well, the scripture says, behold, what manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon the Son, that we should be called sons of God. And we don't rightly know what that means. We really don't what that means. The privilege afforded, the privileges afforded, the blessings, the blessing of being a son of the Most High God. Oh, my, Christian. I hate the fact that the world, the religious world, has so abused that term. Don't you, John? Don't you hate how that they have thrown that around to where it means nothing anymore to anyone? Huh? Oh, it's a blessing. You're getting ready to take a man's name. You're gonna be one with him. And you'll be honored to have his name, won't you? That's why you'll take it. And those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he has revealed himself to, whom he has come for as his bride, whom he loved and who loves him, what a blessed, what a great privilege it is to be called a Christian. Maybe that's how we ought to say it. But a child of God. Are you a Christian? Oh, I don't want to be ashamed of that, do you? I'm ashamed of what they call it today. But oh, don't let me be ashamed of him. I'll be called that. If by that you mean, maybe we should answer them. If by that you mean, do I believe that Christ is all, that Christ is my salvation, that Christ is my Lord, that Christ is my wisdom, my righteousness, my sanctification, that Christ is all my salvation, that Christ is all my hope, that Christ is my peace, that Christ is my acceptance with God? Is that what you mean by Christian? Well, I guess, well, yes, I am. Do you mean, do I love the Lord Jesus Christ, love his holy person, love his work, love his salvation, love his name, fear his name, jealous for his name, love his glory, love his message, love his gospel? Is that what you mean by a Christian? Yeah, then yes, I'm a Christian. Put my name on it. What a blessing to bear that name. And he says, you do that. You tell them what I told you to tell them. You speak the word, and I will bless them. I will bless them. Want to be a blessing? Want to be blessed? Hear what the Lord has to say. You men that preach, you want to be a blessing? Preach the word. Preach Christ and him crucified. Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw them to me. And I'll put my name on them, and I'll marry them. And we'll live happily ever after. Okay. The Lord bless you. Okay.